What a fabulous weekend we had in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hundreds of queer-loving folks showed up for the Pride Alive celebration, and our friends Devin Green and Joel Bryant were the featured act.
Joining us today is Devin Green over the phone from Los Angeles to talk about the exciting festival, our up-and-coming Twisted Fairy Tales, and the world's first public appearance of Betty Bowers, America's best Christian.
And guess what? After trying on the Betty Bowers wig backstage, I'm not just an understudy for the virtual Crystal Connors on Facebook, but also an understudy for Betty Bowers.
Hang on to your handrails, ladies. On the second half of the show, blogger Michael Leatt is joining us to take a look at the hot news.
Why did Lindsay Lohan paint FU on her nails?
President Obama reveals the first ever national AIDS strategy. Will we be able to get an HIV test at Baskin-Robbins anytime soon?
Sherry Vine's new Lady Gaga parody video.
Clay Aiken on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
And why a pipe bomb is completely useless to solve any problem unless you're fighting robots from the future. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Today's show is brought to you by generous support of people just like you and by Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure.
Saca la presión.
Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now Vancouver, British Columbia.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register for a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fun in the promo code field to get the special discount. And remember, play hard,
play smart.
Fausto Fernos.
Hello, my dear.
Fernos.
Trill that R, baby. Trill that R.
Trill me, baby.
I like that our relationship has changed into the sounds of animals.
Yeah, that's all we're going to do now.
So we'll start off this debriefing with the sound of this.
Do it.
Devin, so how was Green Bay, Wisconsin for you?
He's a man eater. Oh, here he comes. Watch out! We had the best time. We met so many dynamite, cool people. And quite honestly, Mark and Foster were dynamite on stage with Aww. Us as our special guest celebrity stars. super funny. But you know what was really cool is because we got to spend a little bit of time in a hotel room together, shenanigans.
Yes, and with our clothes mostly
when,
on. Okay,
when you take the tinsel off, when you take the makeup off, it's nice to see that you're both still aglow.
Oh. You know, one highlight that a lot of people didn't get to see is us going into the equivalent of the Michael Jordan's restaurant in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It was the Vince Lombardi restaurant. Who was it?
It was Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Brett? Apologies to all the football fans out there. And it was great. Joel, it was like football porn. Did you notice your husband? He was like completely catatonic with all the memorabilia. And I think, and get me, maybe this is what I think, is that he was hypnotized by the fact that footballs look like vaginas.
Oh, so I forgot
still
about that photo.
Him now.
I forgot about there's a photo of you and Joel next to a football that had been drawn by a child, I think. And there it looked like a vagina that had been sewn up.
Who needs that dirty old furlough anyway?
Mommy, I drew this vagina for you. No, it's a football. It's a football.
You know what I loved is that a great little pocket of people like Andrew and Andrea, they got together. This is only their third year. And you know what? They made something happen.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did it. They had the gumption. They had the note. They just, like, did it. Hey, we're going to have a party. Here's the park. We're just going to make it happen, and they actually did. And to see all those people come together, I certainly hope that everybody left knowing that they were connected and possibly less lonely.
Aww.
You know, wasn't it inspiring, Andrew? Now, Andrew DeBaker and his boyfriend, Scott James Van Nedestine, and I hope I pronounce your names correctly, they are Green Bay's gay power couple. Because I don't know if you realize this, Devin, but Scott James is an incredible visual artist on his own right.
Oh, I do know. I Google, I finger my keyboard, and I find out who we're associating with.
We call that stalking.
Stalking, yes. I have certainly stalked them. But you know what? Regardless, if you didn't know what they did, who they were, they would just come up to people and go, hey, glad that you're here. And honestly, even the protesters in Green Bay, they were like, gosh, I hope you don't mind if we put up a sign here. You know what I mean? They were so genteel.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, well, just everybody has a voice and everybody's going to be heard, although theirs were incorrect.
Did you watch because the Fox News interviewed them, and I watched a little bit of the coverage. They were exactly like that. They're like, well, they can go and have a party all they want and stuff, but I just think, you know, the Bible says it's wrong.
Oh, sure.
So
you know what was really fun is when we were recording. This will be something really cool for the Friends of Feast of Fun in some upcoming adventures, to hear some bastardized fairy tales.
Mm.
Yes.
Don't you think that will be excellent?
Wonderful.
My highlight of the moment is me doing the voice of Eartha Kitt as Rumpelstiltskin. Now, it wasn't an intentional celebrity impersonation. So the estate of Eartha Kitt, please do not sue us. It was inspired by Eartha Kitt to do Rumpelstiltskin, and threatening you as Rumpelstiltskin was one of my highlights for me. And the second highlight is you doing the horse sounds.
See, I think that's more donkey and ass than anything else.
Is it braying or neighing?
Donkeys bray,
and horses
neigh, and I don't know what Devin does.
So you know, I have a certain proclivity for donkey shows.
And shout out to Dylan, who is a professional stylist, and he worked with Alexander McQueen before his untimely passing.
Gosh, we met. You know, I actually saw some of Dylan's work. And it was fantastic. Can I just say, Green Bay knows how to party. We hung out until, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, dancing, gossiping, doing some cha-cha. You know, there was David and Brent, and we met people from Chicago drove down. It was like a hoot nanny.
You're starting to sound like Romper Room here. I saw David. I saw Michael.
Aww,
I saw Andrew.
A gay Romper Room.
I know. You would be a great... what is the name of that Romper Room lady?
I don't know. I never really watched
Miss,
it.
She was Miss...
Wikipedia to the rescue!
Hold on. The robot is calculating the answer.
It starred...
She was tall.
What's her name?
She was thin. Romper Stomper Bomper. Well, you have to remember, in Canada, we had Mr. Dress-Up, and he would tickle his tickle trunk, and it would open, and there'd be costumes. Mm-hmm.
Miss Jane.
Somebody was showing us.
Oh, Miss Carol, Miss Jane.
Perhaps you remember this TV show from Canada. It was a mother and daughter show, and they would come on, and I don't know, the host would like hit on these daughters, and they're like five or 6 years old. He's like, can I have a kiss? And some of these girls are like, no. And then others, he would like beg them, or he'd whisper like sweet nothings in her ear. It was really creepy.
That's cool. Oh, no. That, you know what? There's certain things I want. Don't tolerate. There's certain, you know, I honestly consider that abuse against children. We don't have racism and we don't have gayism.
Okay, her name was Miss Molly, and there were many different types of romper room, sort of like matriarchs in Canada. There was other ones as well, so we might not actually share the same one. But I was always disappointed when I watched that as a kid, because they would never say Fausto at the end of the show. And I bet they never said Devin either.
Oh, no, they didn't?
Did they? When you were a kid, when you watched... Well, did you even have television growing up?
Devin's not a very popular name.
No, and you know what? It would probably be more like, hey, it's Tuck Toy Yuck Talk. Good night. You know?
Hold on, I have a fishbone stuck in my throat.
Is that the language they speak up there?
Fausto, if you get a fishbone stuck in your throat, just swallow a little piece of bread. It'll whisk that bone away toot sweet.
So another big momentous occasion that kind of passed us by, we didn't notice, was the world premiere, the public appearance, first time ever, of Betty Bauer's America's Best Christian.
That's very true. And you know, what some of the people may not know who came later, there was a torrential downpour. Just 2 hours before we were to take the stage, so we didn't even know if we were actually going to perform. And quite honestly, Joel and I would have performed Hell and High Water. We would have put the audience on the stage and we would have gotten electrocuted on the grass. We have no problem with performing like that. But it was super fun, and oh gosh, we had those auctions going on as well. We made like money for New Pride next year, and I guess the best way to put it, it was certainly our blessing to be invited and to do it.
So God was smiling on you guys because there was like tornadoes and
thunder and lightning.
There was an hour of rain.
Listen, let me spin the story.
There was one hour of rain.
And
you have to understand, these people live in Green Bay, Wisconsin. They put up with hellish weather all year round. If it's not hot and filled with mosquitoes, it's freezing. They call it the frozen Arctic tundra. One hour of a rain is not going to kill them.
You know what? They are hardier and more moist than anticipated.
I would say that no matter how cold the weather was, as long as Andrew and his boyfriend Scott were around to look at, I'd be warm and hot. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to tell you, there were a lot of fine-looking men and women.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There was a lot. And you know what? There was a lot of families and kids that came out. So, obviously, we did a cleaner show.
Well, it was a very sort of like churchy, queer, LGBT crowd. I mean, there was like Methodists and Episcopalians and
United.
Even like, it is possible to be a Scientologist and a gay person.
St. Cyril and Methodius was there too. The gay lover church.
And what sort of initiation do they have to get in?
I don't know. I think you have to spell something in the Cyrillic alphabet. That's where it comes from.
It was. I did notice that. I was like, I was so.
Because I pointed it out to you.
It was in the fog of all the religions. I noticed the ancient Russian gay church, and I was like, what is going on here?
Because St. Cyril and Methodius, they came, I believe, from Greece, and they went up north to Russia to spread the good word, and that's why Russians and the Greeks share the same alphabet.
And the same affection for
anal
sex. And
they were lovers.
Really? Is that true?
That's what they say.
That's what Wikipedia says it's
true.
Oh,
well, thank God for the two of you to educate and spread your knowledge.
So you had to. So you really, you tamed your act down a little bit? I mean, dirty-wise?
Well, it's not tame it down. It's just we kind of have to honor, you know, I'm not going to be swearing in front of kids. It's a simple, I'm not going to be dropping F-bombs. I've got plenty of opportunities. We're not going to eviscerate an audience. We can certainly save that for videos.
Because it was a little tough, I got to say, when we did the dating game. And Michael Ryan, who's a listener of the show, was a good sport. And he was the bachelorette, we'll call him. And
the Fausto very and well-endowed Michael Ryan.
That is quite an endorsement. And furthermore, did any of us have a clue that his mom was sitting in the front row and she helped out? What a proud mom. And
we met her beforehand. It was just, I'm just saying, but I was really surprised when he brought her into the act.
Well, did you
and
look
I was
at
just
her?
Like, what are we going to do?
I mean, you know, let's just say that the son takes after the father. That woman looked very happy. Mm-hmm. That's all I got to say.
What does that mean?
The son takes after his father.
Oh, so you think
and
she
his
got
mother.
Good.
She got that woman is surrounded by love. It's all I gotta say. And big dicks
filled with love.
Well, don't you two feel don't you two feel being noted celebrities that wherever you walk, you two have like a halo on you?
Foster has a Target sign on him.
I almost got run over by a car on my way here to tape the show. I don't know if it's a halo or horns, but you know. Either way, I appreciate the being recognized for my efforts of being a people person.
Well, I wouldn't say, I would probably add an adjective to that and say Herculean.
Herculean.
Was your husband, because he was like basically in the
lion's den.
In the lion's den of gay action. And you're, you know, and he's a gorgeous human being, physically and mentally and spiritually.
Yes.
And he's also a heterosexual man, mostly, right. At least that we know of. Because you never know with people.
Up.
But he was like surrounded by all these gay men who are just like drooling after your husband. How did you handle all that?
With a plum.
How did that plum taste?
Look, Joel can handle himself. You know, once you meet him, he's just so delightful, and he's like so nice and interesting. And so sweet and adorable that you don't want to enforce your designs upon him. You want to get to know him, and
spoon,
you know, we both really
first.
Try and listen to other people and listen to their stories, because trust me, I talk about myself all the time. I really like hearing what other people have to say. And you know, Joel, this is not unfamiliar territory for him. He was a lifter in ballet for some years, and he, as you know, he grew up with a gay dad.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, being a lifter in
is
ballet?
Is that like a fluffer?
Yeah, no, stop it! Come here, you nutcracker!
That's somebody who lifts up a ballerina.
Yeah.
Well, I think there may actually be video evidence of this.
Yes.
We recorded you guys. We were out in the hotel, out in front of it. I guess we were just killing time or just hanging around. And we started talking about Dirty Dancing.
Correct.
And you guys just out of the blue sky said, oh, we know how to do that routine, that dance.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, like, prove it.
And there you go. Yep. You did the Patrick Swayze, Jennifer...
Gray
lift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had the time of our life.
And you know what? Nobody got put in a corner.
Except the baby. Mm. Hey, I wanted to ask you, though, when you were on that stage performing Betty Bowers for a very religious-oriented LGBT audience that has had trauma in the past over their religious identity and their sexual identity. How did that feel for you the first time performing there and seeing the reaction on their faces?
Well, it was great. I was really thankful that we could actually put up the traditional marriage video. And just the bottom line is, you know, it's always, there's nothing wrong with love, period. It's just as simple as that. There's no qualifications, but looking out to see people appreciating, because there are also other things that Betty Bowers offers, including fake snobbery, etc., which can appeal to others as well. But it was just nice to, because people were like leaning forward and listening intently, and
they were. It was like
a revival.
Well, because that part of, I was looking at the audience and I was trying to read them too. And it was like part of them where they were like, have we just been fooled into having basically Shirley Phelps perform at a gay pride? You know what it is?
Baptist, yeah.
They were like, is she on our side or not?
Oh, well, the nice thing is that, I can vouch for this as I am saying it, is that people came up afterwards and were like, hey, that Christian lady, it was on point. I got what you were saying. So... there's nobody that came up and said, hey, did you not find this inappropriate?
Well, you probably get into a lot of theological arguments with people online, don't you? They're like, excuse me, but Leviticus 2:4-8:9 says that he shall not be stoned with the Jehoshaphat, blah, blah, blah,
also,
blah.
I can't begin to... People, you know, it's very funny. These citations, these are extremely, extremely well investigated. You know, so when people say, oh, I think Betty made a little error, I think there's a little mistake, trust me, no.
So unlike the Bible, you don't just make things up.
I take from the imaginary book.
Devin, next time I gotta comb your wig, girl. It's like,
well, you know what?
I don't know if you were having fun with Joel backstage or Ultra Nate try to sabotage you.
Well, we were both in the back vying for the mirror, and boy, was she ever nice, hey?
Oh my God, lovely woman.
She's
a very lovely woman, and she's got great face
and a nice pair of legs.
Oh, you know what? She can. She's got a beat.
So, Foster videotaped her behind dancing.
Her booty.
Butt.
So I'm putting together little video clips of me backstage, and Devin was gracious enough to allow me. I'm probably the only gay man or only other person in the world that's tried on the Betty Bowers wig.
Correct, so, and you'll be the only one.
Devin, can I be your understudy?
All about Fosto.
No, all about Betty Bowers.
I can just imagine running towards the stage and Fosto just delicately puts his ankle out. Oh, I tripped. Oh, Devin, you pulled a hammy. You can't go on.
I'll take it from here.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you seem to have an identical outfit prepared. I know you're kind.
Do you think you can do my nails for me now, Devin?
Where's Crystal Connors when you need her?
To defend it. I was like, I'm getting a little busy because I'm Crystal Connors' understudy on Facebook.
Are you the understudy?
I am the understudy. So, and Crystal, everybody, because I get about 5 to 10 emails on Facebook a week going, why are you her understudy? I'm like, because I got heat, darling.
You have heat, you have fire, and, you have ice. Exclamation mark.
Okay, Devin, we got to wrap this up. I know that you got a gig tonight, but any chance that Betty Bowers is going to go on the road? I'm putting you on the spot there.
Let us raise our ears to the heavens and see what drops down.
So maybe.
Hey, listen, honestly, it was so great getting to know the two of you better in person, but also having fun activities like how do you eat, how do you drive, what kind of drinks you have, what's in your nether regions.
How do you like to spoon?
How do you like to spoon? It's so exciting.
Oh,
right,
Devin.
So keep that energy and that positivity going.
All right, way to dodge that. Thank you, Devin. It is always, always a pleasure to talk with you, and we hope Joel is doing fantastic. Give him our love.
We will. The pleasure has certainly been all mine, and I mean that. I'm not acting.
And tell him we sent a fruit basket to the hospital he's rehabilitating right now. So
I'm
really sorry about everything, okay?
I love you, too. Take care.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
Hi, what a surprise that you're here. I always wanted to be on Dynasty. Okay. Look at my face. Look at my face. A face full of fashion. It's after Labor Day.
And that is a bonus Look at My Face dance track from Devin Green's collection of fabulous ringtones, available through our website, feastoffun.com. Today, our second guest is Michael Liatt.
Hey!
Welcome, Michael. Welcome.
You've been gambling away your life savings at a casino.
Yes.
What's up with that?
How much money did you make?
I didn't make anything.
No?
I won twice. I've been big twice.
You did? What'd you win?
At the ATM?
What's that payout?
It was a one-to-one payout.
Oh, shit.
And I won big at the
buffet. How does that exactly work? Because your bank does charge you fees for pulling your money in and out.
I guess I didn't even win at the ATM then.
But you won at the buffet table.
I won at the buffet.
Girl,
did you have some prime rib and lobster?
No. The buffet is not a Las Vegas buffet.
Oh, really? What's on it?
They
like coleslaw?
Yeah, coleslaw and hush puppies.
It was delicious.
No, they had like a Latin, Asian, American...
lots of starches.
Lots of starches, lots of veggies.
I love
lots of chicken
lavish
legs.
All-you-can-eat buffets. And you're a fun guy to hang out in Las Vegas with,
yes.
As we've experienced from going to these conferences about blogging and things as such. and also a great guy to party with at the buffet table.
Yeah. I know my way around a buffet.
It's a fabulous time.
I don't know. I get scared of buffets now because it's just like a license to overeat.
Yeah, but you know what? We went down. We were there about 4 hours. We gambled about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just sat in the restaurant and we talked and ate and, you know.
Did you take the free bus there?
No, we drove.
Okay.
It's only like a half hour, 40 minute drive. It's not bad.
Well, girl, so, you know, you got to take that license to eat and revoke it. You know, license revoked.
Mm.
You know, because look, this is the thing, is that your body actually's metabolism speeds up in the summer anyways.
Yeah. Mm.
No matter where you live, because there's more light hitting your retinas and your brain saying, burn, baby, burn.
Oh, because you're more active.
Disco inferno. So, you know, and then you, that's why if you're ever going to take photos for yourself for Facebook or for those dating websites,
Do it now.
Do it like between now and September.
Don't do it between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
No. By the time Halloween gets there, people are like, more candy apples, yeah. More popcorn balls.
So, what are we going to do for Halloween this year? It's July, so we're gay. We have to start planning it now.
Plan ahead. Well, I know what I'm doing in September.
What?
Peaches Christ. Oh, that's August. I'm sorry. August 14th. Peaches Christ. Superstar. She's coming to Chicago and she's touring the country with Mink Stole. I'm going to start a rumor that Mink Stole's actually Peaches' mom in real life. And then she drags her reluctantly onto stage. So yeah, Mink Stole, the woman who coined the phrase, I wouldn't suck your dick if I was suffocating and there was oxygen in your balls.
Wow.
Did she actually come up with that line or did John Waters write it for her?
She popularized it.
Okay.
And when you meet her, she goes like this. Yes, I'm the one who said, I wouldn't suck your dick if I was suffocating and there's oxygen in your balls.
Well, we had the pleasure of meeting her a few years ago with Jim Vararos. They were in a movie together called Eating Out 2, Sloppy Seconds.
Oh, okay.
It was not a porn movie, just to be clear. It was a teenage sex mm-hmm. romp.
Yeah. And so we were hanging out with her. I think it was at Borders Bookstore because they were doing a signing of the DVD. They were selling it. And we were talking about drugs somehow. And then she started talking about how she hates crystal meth.
And crystal meth addicts.
And people that take crystal meth. Oh. She thinks it's a horrible drug. And then she started like eyeballing us. Like, are these people on meth? Like, she got real suspicious. Oh. And I was like, I'm not on meth.
I'm not skinny. I have all my teeth.
Oh, most meth addicts, that's a big, misnomer, a myth? That meth addicts are actually thin.
Well, there are many that are
there
thin.
There are a lot. Because
for every thin meth addict, mm-hmm. there's a pleasantly or unpleasantly plump one going down that highway, and he has your name, your face on his crosshairs.
I had a bear friend that got addicted to meth, and he, honest to God, got down to like a 28-inch waist.
And when did that happen for you, when you lost all that weight? You in your lies, Michael. No, yeah. For me, it's like when people like accuse me of doing drugs, I take the opposite approach.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, maybe I've done a little bit of meth. Maybe I've had a little bit of heroin. You know, kids, if you mix poppers and Viagra, it's a winning combination.
It gives you a heart attack or is it stroke? Which one?
No, it gives you a heart attack because it already. If you're
one's a vasodilator and the other one's
vasoconstrictor.
Mm. Yeah,
one loose. Loosens you up and the other one tightens Puckers you up. And so when that happens, it's like throwing the car's clutch in reverse when you're going down the highway. It doesn't end well. I just wanted to do it to find out what happened, Mom. So the big news, the story of the week that's, you know, because a lot of a feast of fun is it's kind of like cooking spaghetti. You throw it at the wall with news and you find out what sticks. And so we're sort of like the gay detectives on the internet trying to find out what news stories, what videos, what ideas are sticking to the wall. And surprisingly to me was Lindsay Lohan's fuck you nails.
That's which were real. Sticking. They were really, it wasn't Photoshopped.
It looked really Photoshopped.
No, it was real.
Really? Because I want to now like have a photo of me with like nails and be like, I'm really sorry.
I'm sure that was less for the judge when she was at court and more for the media and the paparazzi.
I wonder if she was wearing her fuck me pumps too.
Oh.
She probably fingers her girlfriend with those fuck you nails.
But I guess now there's new stories going around that Lindsay Lohan's gonna, there's gangs of lesbians in prison all saying, we can't wait till she gets here.
That's gonna be fabulous.
So is that true? What did they send out a press release?
Well, there's one article and it was a dubious source. It's like India Times or something like that. And they're all talking about what it's like to be in prison. And they say that like straight girls wear their gay girls wear their shirts inside out so they know if you're available. And so they're like, if she doesn't want to be bothered, she better wear her shirt in the right way. But they also say that girls are sexually harassed when the guards aren't looking and there'll be like fingers groping her. And pretty much they're saying if Lindsay goes to prison, she's going to be lesbian gang raped.
Well, it'd just be like dating Samantha Ronson then.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like a regular Saturday night.
Been there, done that.
Prison rape is not funny.
Until it happens to you.
No.
Or no, it's funny until it happens to you.
Yeah, so. But people are always afraid of prison rape for some reason. I'm like, how likely is it that you're ever going to be in that situation where you're going to get prison raped?
But you know what? The thing about it is, it's like, as Sidney Sheldon said, if tomorrow, in the book, If Tomorrow Comes, there was a great novel in the 1980s.
Runaway bestseller.
Bestseller is that we never know when we're going to be framed for a crime we did not commit and have to serve time and then be raped in prison. And there's nothing worse than being raped by a gang of lesbians, as we've seen in Lady Gaga's video, that Telephone.
I would not want to be raped by a gang of lesbians.
Especially if you're Lady Gaga.
Lindsay.
How would a lesbian rape you, Michael? What would
they
she do?
They could violate you. They could put their fingers inside of you. And
She would read poetry. But
they're lesbians, so their fingers are going to be nailed. Their finger files, they're not going to be sharp nails. They'll be filed down.
Yeah.
So. The worst that way a lesbian can rape you is to pull out her guitar and sing her acoustic version of Butterflies Are Free. Joni Mitchell. So Sherry Vine, it seems like New York City drag queen Sherry Vine, whole existence is to become famous by doing Lady Gaga parodies.
Well,
it seems to be working. You know? What was the first one she did? It was like, instead of Bad Romance, I just crap my pants.
Oh, yeah.
Total potty humor. Drag queens are always, they're so into, if it's scat, they're knee deep in it.
And so now she they're neck deep in it.
They're neck deep in it. And she also did Telephone with Peppermint. Peppermint. And then what was the latest one she did? It was
Alejandro.
Alejandro, where she outed closeted politicians and priests. And she featured Illinois Representative Aaron Schock, who's been voted the hottest member of Congress. Mm-hmm. And people are like, he's got to be gay. He's gay.
I can't wait to have sex with him in a bathroom.
Mm.
He's certainly an upgrade from that, what is it?
Larry Craig.
Yeah, Larry Flint, I was going to say, but Larry Craig toe-tapping fun.
But it's just like, how does he think he's not, people aren't going to recognize him as being gay? I mean, it's just, you see him, your gaydar goes off.
He's fashionably dressed, that's all.
Yeah, but his speech and the way he looks, come on.
Well, this is a thing that I've been, you know, I do the Feast of Fun research team, we've been working.
You went to Wikipedia.
Don't destroy the illusion, Mark. So the team of researchers here that we have working at Feast of Fun, we were like, why? What is going on with these gay Republicans? It seems that in the suburbs of Illinois and in others in rural Midwest America, to be gay means to be a Republican. And there's like, you can't separate those two. It's like there's a lot of gay Republicans. And so for a lot of people who are getting politically involved, it means being a Republican.
Well, maybe that's the gay agenda, is all the gays are going to become Republicans and take over the Republican Party and dissolve it.
With fabulous fashion. I don't know. Well, but see, he's anti-gay.
But he's anti-gay and he votes, anything that's gay that comes up, he votes against it.
Well, that senator in California was doing the same thing.
Because he doesn't want people to know.
Yeah, the guy that got arrested for DUI after coming out of a gay bar.
Ashford.
Now he sort of repented and said that, you know, it's been wrong and he's not going to vote way anymore.
He just is saying all that stuff so he can get laid again.
He wants to get prison raped.
Remember a world where Rosie was a heterosexual woman. Remember that world?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, I was thinking Rosie from the Jetsons. Mm.
Remember the world where we lived in when Ellen DeGeneres was a heterosexual and starred in films?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the world where that we lived in when the Wham was heterosexual men?
Or in Clay Aiken.
And Clay Lance Aiken. Bass. Lance Bass. Remember that world? It's so easy to take for granted these openly Ricky gay Martin. Celebrities, Ricky Martin, but there is a time when we all thought of them as the epitome of heterosexuality, and nobody could even conceive of them of loving the peenie.
So is that what the Republican Party is today? They're kind of like what Hollywood was in the late 80s, early 90s?
I guess so. So Clay Aiken went on The View, and he's the intellectual fortress of knowledge, talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And anything Clay Aiken does is funny, I think.
Well, he's got that little southern accent twang, and he's just kind of
got funny looks.
Yeah. I want to bottom you from the top.
Quarter turns, quarter turns, quarter turns.
Oh, I love Clay. Clay, if you're listening, you come on the show and quarter turn us till we spin out of control. So he was on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and arguing with Elizabeth Hasselbeck and
Shepard. What's her name? Sherry Shepard.
But he had a really nice point that he was saying, because Sherry Shepard said to him.
She was talking about how, when people are in the military, what are you going to do when you're faced with having to take a shower with a gay guy? Should they, how should they deal with it? Maybe they should go to a counseling. And he just looked at her. He's like, you need counseling to take a shower? Listen, these people are out there killing people.
Yeah.
You know? They're shooting people with guns and blowing shit up. They should be able to handle a simple shower.
Yeah, I mean, if you need counseling, it's for the fact that you see dead bodies, that you have to kill people sometimes. And, it's like...
Not because you might have to take a shower with a gay man.
For sexy results, too.
Yeah.
You know, because we've talked to people who have served in Iraq here on the show, and they say... That gay sex does happen.
Oh, yeah.
Shockingly enough.
Wow. Straight sex happens, too.
Mm-hmm. And straight sex happens.
And what do you think those pup tents are for? Have a little.
They're not for pups?
Puppy time.
Hey.
Oh. Well, speaking of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, though, is Kathy Griffin did her special, her TV show, My Life on the D-List, and she was interviewing some people that were currently serving in the military and were also gay and asking them about what that was like. And this one guy's like, well, I'm just afraid some people will find out I'm gay. I'm like, honey, they all know you're gay. They just can't ask.
Yeah. Wait, no, his voice was more like, I think I'm afraid that people are going to think I am gay. Although I am very humbled by this honor, I am George Washington Carver.
That's what George Washington Carver sounds like.
I was like, how did that story go? We were watching the History Channel.
No, Adam was watching something, and I don't know why I was looking. I was researching, because sometimes I research strange things, so I was researching, of course, the history of the peanut. So you're not...
Because Mark likes peanut butter.
I like peanuts, and so you can't and do that without... George Washington Carver. And so I was looking for a video of him, and he started speaking, and let's just play a little bit of it for now. Should we play it?
Sure.
I am not sure that I am worthy of this splendid citation, but I wish to say also that I thank you from the depth of my heart.
Young man, can I interest you in a hot peanut oil massage?
Because he worked at the university, he would invite men up to his room for a peanut. He would extol
young
the virtues of a peanut, oil massage.
At Tuskegee?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder where he massaged them at.
All over their bodies.
He liked to crochet, too.
And talk to the flowers early in the morning.
He sounds gay, huh?
Oh, yeah.
With that voice.
Does your gaydar just going, dee,
dee. I wouldn't say my gaydar is going off, but I'm like, that voice is just like really.
No, Mark and I saw that. We like looked at each other and we're like, he's gay.
And then we did some research and sure enough, he was gay.
And he liked to give young men peanut oil massages.
Who doesn't?
So we were in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I was going around the gay bar with Devin Green going, young man, would you like a peanut oil massage? And they just look at me. I was mad. Out of my mind. So Kathy Griffin did something for HRC. She did on her TV show.
On My Life for the D-List. And then she went to watch. We didn't get to watch the whole program because Michael's got to get to bed early.
But people are like sort of saying that she was like...
It fell flat.
It fell flat.
When she goes to Washington, that's what they're saying is it is... HRC used her and she used HRC and nobody won.
You know, we've done podcasts from the nation, from the state of Illinois, and it's really, really hard to go into where politicians work and make that entertaining or funny or interesting. Yeah. It's like, so, you know, hats off to Kathy Griffin
for trying.
I want to live in a world with Kathy Griffin, not in a world without her. Right. Just
because I've just kind of come up with a policy now. It's just, I really just don't ever want to have a politician as like a main guest on the show again.
Yeah.
I mean, a little snippet here and there, but they're just, they're, it's all about stump speeches. It's all about saying their little factoids, and it's not about really having a give and take. Now, interpersonally, these people are wonderful, and you can have these wonderful conversations with them. But when it comes to like something being recorded on the record, it's all very, I have to watch everything I say.
Yeah. And if I see one more Democrat pull out the Clinton thumb, I will reach out and break the thumb. God help me, I will go to prison.
Pull out the Clinton thumb.
The this.
What's that?
They just like to talk with the Clinton thumb. The Clinton thumb. They're
is that what he did all the time?
Yeah,
he did that, and it's just so annoying.
He still does it.
It's stupid. You look like a fucking moron, America. Mm-hmm. If you do the Clinton thumb, even Clinton looks stupid doing it.
Well, because they don't want to point, because they think pointing's rude.
Well, then just hold your hand out, or just, or like, or don't move, you know?
Well,
it's
so you have to use your hands to, you know.
Or be like Italians, like, be like Mussolini or something. It or just Hitler. Looks crazy. Yeah, do like Hitler. It looks great. What did George Bush do? He shrugged his shoulders a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was like, turtle. Remember that? That killed Dana Carvey's career.
He never recovered from turtle.
Turtle. No. We're like, shitty.
To walk up. I wonder if people walk up to him and go, turtle.
Turtle.
He's probably like, I don't care. I still have my millions of dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
I can afford hookers till the day I die.
Yeah, and beautiful hookers. Mm. Celebrity kind. Heidi Fleiss level of hookers.
Not cheap hookers.
No.
There are so many of hookers.
What? I posted this too, and I don't know, on our Chicago Now blog, and it was CBS had reported last week, and if you lived in Chicago and you watched The Mentalist, you'd catch the last end of it and recorded it. And it was about where to find hookers on the south side of Chicago and how much to pay.
Because
I think my title of it was CBS tells where to find hookers with prices as low as $5. You know, you can get a hooker to do something for $5.
Why would you even charge $5? I mean,
well,
at that point,
$5 is $5.
Because it's an exchange for goods and services.
What would you do for $5?
I would imagine a
blowjob for $5.
Mark, what is your theory about sex workers? Is that they lower the prices to get you in the door.
Oh, yeah.
And then then
it's the shakedown.
It's like, you want me to lick your balls? That'd be $25. Mm-hmm. You want to do it up the ass? $100.
Mm-hmm.
Without a condom? Mm-hmm. $150.
Right. And so there was, but it's like, yeah, they had all this like footage of these hookers like trying to pick. And it's mostly, I would have to say, they presented as though they were trans hookers. They were very masculine looking.
Was this on the south side? What was the address?
It was an underpass.
Oh, an underpass.
Ashburn Grenway or something like that. I don't know.
Ashburn and Grenway.
I posted it.
You know, and as a former sex worker, I felt the characterization of sex workers was horribly, defamatory.
Why?
You know, because they look like tramps.
Well, they are tramps.
You know, why could they have Pavel Novotny or the great, sexy studs?
Well, it's a class
issue
too, because if you're a high price call girl or an escort, you're not working the street.
Yeah,
you are working on the internet. You're not going to get busted. You know, it's the people it's the poor people that are working the street. Those are the ones that go to jail.
And we call those video bloggers.
Michael, how much do you charge?
More than $5.
So Obama, who has weaned himself off the Clinton thumb. I've noticed that Obama doesn't. He used to use it, and he's weaned himself off using the Clinton thumb. He just announced his AIDS strategy.
Yeah.
The first ever national strategy.
I just find it so hard to believe that this is the first national AIDS strategy that we've had.
Yeah,
AIDS has been along for how many, 30 years now?
30 years.
Well, some people, conspiracy theorists, says it's always been there.
Oh, and the government actually gave it to everyone.
And spread it. So as a biological experiment tied to the Philadelphia Project. To make submarines invisible. But that's a whole nother story.
Okay, I'm like, all right.
Did you see the Philadelphia Experiment? That is a sexy movie, I gotta tell you.
Who was in that?
Oh, man, he was hot. I would love to get whatever diseases he's got. I'm sorry, but
okay.
Vaguely remember, it was made in the 80s, wasn't it?
Oh, he was so hot.
Michael does this. Yeah. You look it up on IMDb.
Let's think about famous Dudley.
So, yes, this is the first ever national strategy mm-hmm. in the fight against HIV/AIDS. And what they're doing, they're targeting four high-risk groups: African-Americans, gay and bisexual men, Latinos, and substance abusers. And they're trying to, over the next 5 years, reduce the number of new cases of HIV by 25%. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try and do this in a couple different ways. They're going to try and... because they say, like, right now, 20% of those people that are HIV positive don't even know that they're HIV positive. Mm-hmm. So in the next 5 years, they're going to increase from 79% to 90% those people that are living with HIV and make sure that they know their status. So...
so they're going to be about, like, more testing. Okay.
Yeah, more testing.
Because that's really the most important thing you can do, is to find out your status. Because most people that are spreading HIV don't even know their status, and that's why they're doing it. Because most people would never make a conscientious decision to infect someone else.
Well, before you move on, it's like, why is it so hard to get an HIV test? It's like, getting an HIV test or an STD test should be as easy as getting immunized for the flu. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but you should be able to go to your local.
It should be even easier. Yeah. It should be the most easy thing you should get. And there are programs out there at the center in Halsted here in Chicago. You can get a free test. You can go to Steamworks on a certain day. I think it's Tuesdays. You get a free test there. But if you walk into Howard Brown, I believe if you would just ask for a test, it's like you're going to get charged $100. And most of these people that are getting infected are young kids. And it's a choice between, listen, do I go get an HIV test when I don't even know if I have it or not, or I couldn't have it, or I don't know, or do I spend that $100 and go out and party and have a good time? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd like to see
food on their plate.
I appreciate all these organizations, and I think the best place to get tested for seriously, because we've been tested for HIV and STDs, is Steamworks. You know, it's like you walk in there, and like in 20 minutes, they take care of you, and they're like, they give you that tone of voice, like, you have, or go out and celebrate, boy. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding, but seriously, like, getting tested for STDs should be as easy as buying a jug of milk. Mm. You should be able to do it within 50 meters of your house. Like, you should be able to go to the pharmacy, to the grocery store, and go into a little room, and the pharmacist should be trained in counseling and do that, you know? Obama, make it happen!
Well, I think that eventually that's going to happen with national health care, that more like these walk-up clinics that they have at Walmart and Walgreens and stores where that's going to happen. But I think there's a big... there's that social stigmata that it's sexual, and so
like Jesus bleeding stigma. From his hands.
And it's like, so it's,
I'm holy.
You know, there's that stigma against that, you know, you should go someplace special to find that information out instead of being able to go to, you know, and get a flu shot. I mean,
I propose this. If the Apple Store gave HIV tests, everybody would want to get one,
but they're not.
And it came in the results business. In packaging like Apple does, that you open in and you like open up the foil and crack open the thing and be like, congratulations,
you have HIV,
you have AIDS.
So what else is on the program?
Yeah. Okay, so the three things they're trying to do is reduce new HIV infections, increase access to care, because there's a lot of low-income people that are...
and people that live in rural environments.
Yeah, that don't have access. Mm-hmm. So it's increasing care and then reducing HIV-related health disparities.
What does that mean?
Increase the proportion of HIV-diagnosed gay and bisexual men with undetectable viral load by 20%. So getting more people on... antiretrovirals and on drugs.
Because if you're on the retrovirals, if you do have unprotected sex, you're more unlikely to pass on the virus.
Yes, if you have a zero undetectable viral load.
The concept here is if you have a dirty floor in your kitchen, you drop a steak. Mm-hmm. It's safer to eat if your floor is clean.
You know what I'm saying? Don't use the words clean and dirty when you're referring to HIV.
Well, like, okay. How do we describe a kitchen floor with dirt on it?
It's like jimmies on an ice cream cone.
You know, and so if you... think of it, the HIV virus as your kitchen floor. It's like you always have to keep it clean in a sense. And yes, I'm in the school of like... HIV is something you want to control, manage, get rid of, and stuff. It's not your best friend.
You don't want to portray people as being
well,
dirty.
It's not
because then you're going back to that whole Frank and Gay. He is the one.
Yes, but it's your kitchen.
And you're saying, unclean, unclean.
I'm talking about the dirt on the floor, not the kitchen. The people are the kitchens, and we all have kitchens, you know. And so you want to keep your kitchen floor as clean as possible, but it always will get dirty, and food will always fall on the floor. And so the you know, if you mop up.
Did you like your pork chop I cooked for you tonight? That was on the floor.
That's a lot. It was delicious, actually. I mean, the idea is that people who take their medications are less likely to pass it along.
Yeah. What else you got? Was that the final one?
Those are the three things that they're trying to do.
And how much money are they putting at this?
Not a lot, but $30 million.
$40.
I just feels like $30 million just isn't very much, is it?
No, it's not.
But, and if this money gets if like the Illinois Department of Public Health gets its hands on this money and wastes it on Frankengay ad campaigns, it's really like fruitless.
I don't think it's going to be coming out at the state level. I think that this is a federal program because it's the because there's a whole. I downloaded the PDFs of the strategy and the implementation of what they want to do, and they're like these huge documents. And
this is the over the nation, but each state has their own things that they do with it.
I don't know. I think that this is going to be a national.
So all the states are going to fall in line with underneath the national.
I think so. Okay. Well, I don't know. I think
we'll
that states will still be doing their own thing, but I think this is sort of a layer on top of that. Mm-hmm. That's one consistent message that's going to go out across instead of having 50 different messages because you have 50 different departments of health that are trying to portray the message
and grappling with this huge giant problem.
Well, I would like to see in terms of this funding is to have some accountability. And to turn to these organizations and say, don't let these organizations be the ones who measure the success or failure of their programs. They need to have other organizations being watchdogs to them to saying, are you really effectively using this money? Or are you just using it to, you know, get to do a Frankengay ad campaign?
Because
that's just...
People got paid on that campaign.
And they got paid really, really well. And I didn't see a penny of that.
Yeah.
You know? I'm a little bit resentful that we weren't asked to be models for that campaign. Because we have pretty
face. You could be the next scary STD monster.
Yeah, Fausto. Oh, gee, thanks.
That might be a good Halloween costume for you.
What, to paint my face in quarters?
No, just take that piece of paper and just, you know, cut eyes out. And
I'm going to dress up as a panda again. I think we need to bring back the panda. You know?
Panda.
Panda, panda,
panda, panda, don't you wanna?
Panda, 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 don't you wanna?
So a transgendered woman in Idaho was arrested after they found four pipe bombs attached to a propane tank in her home. The neighbors had warned them about her. And she was mad at the police because a few years ago she was arrested and they didn't use the proper pronoun for her. They referred to her as a man and they kept her in isolation rather than putting her in with other women prisoners. And she wanted retaliation, so she was getting some pipe bombs ready. And so the police came, they blew up the bombs. I guess her trailer had caught on fire at some point in time, and she was caught running. She was caught running.
Why am I laughing?
Caught naked running down the street. So this is somebody that obviously has a mental health problem.
Wow, that's a whole lot to digest.
Pipe bombs do not solve anything.
But they did work really well for Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Terminator 1? It was the original that they made pipe bombs.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. What'd you find out about the Philadelphia thing?
Oh, my God. I completely forgot about that. Michael Paré. Honey, he still looks good to this day.
Does he still look good?
Yes, I would do him. He had that...
About a soldier and they time traveled, didn't they, or something like that?
He's a time travel soldier who was caught in a interdimensional vortex... Because he was a victim of a government experiment to make submarines invisible go wrong, and it developed the HIV virus that we all have to struggle with to this day. Thanks a lot, Philadelphia Experiment.
Wait, was that where the whole ship disappeared?
Yes.
Okay, I remember that movie.
Yes, it was the hottest.
What year was that?
That was in the 80s. Oh, I love him so much. He's so beautiful. He looks good. He's a totally dilf, man.
Is he?
Total dilf. He was like the Patrick Swayze, low budget Patrick Swayze, and he's still alive and he's still got heat, honey. He's got
heat.
MichaelPare-fanclub.com. You can see all sorts of photos of him and his gay fans.
He'd be 52-year-old. 52 right now.
I want, this is a series of interviews that I want to do in the fall. Oh, is yeah. Older gay men who aren't assholes.
Who don't suck and aren't bitter.
Don't suck and aren't bitter to inspire you, mm-hmm. the listeners, that, because I think it's like, I was reflecting on this. We're so subconsciously terrified to get older because we fear that no one's going to want to love us, that our lives aren't going to be fabulous, that all this fun that we're having being gay and all this joy is going to end because we won't feel connected to our communities. And so I want to interview fierce, hot daddies, silver foxes that has still got heat, still are connected, still are doing fabulous things and doing it after 50. 50 and fabulous.
60.
Go with
70.
50.
80. How high can you go?
I would start at 50 and go up.
So
50 is a little too close for comfort.
So to kick it off, I'm going to invite Terrence McNally and his partner, Tom Kierdahy, who needs no introduction, to come on the show and talk about the relationship and all that stuff. And in September, I'm going to be introducing Corpus Christi as part of the celebration of Terrence McNally's plays here in Chicago.
They're doing play readings, right? They're not readings, actual productions.
But I think readings are better in a way, because they're then you can different. Focus on the literature and the writing of it, as opposed to the sets. And they're cheaper to produce, let's face it. Just get a bunch of good actors.
And chairs
and read this out, and it'll be fantastic. And so they invited me to introduce Terrence McNally's landmark play, Corpus Christi.
Wonderful.
I hope I don't, as RuPaul says, don't fuck it up. I better go watch the play now. Huh?
It's going to make you so nervous. You're going to be so nervous.
I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
You're already worried about it now.
Yeah, I performed in front of mobs Tens. Of people that hated me. This couldn't be any different. So I'm really looking forward to it. I was calling out my mom on the phone and be like, Mom, can you tell me anything about Terrence McNally now? Because my mother...
He's worried about it already.
I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about it at all.
You are worried. You're worried you're going to fuck it up.
They're like, boo. Here, watch this. Ready? Okay, so you boo me in a second. Hi, my name is Fausto Fernandez.
Boo!
Hey, where's the love?
Oh. Michael, I want to...
Don't crucify me.
I want to thank you for all the help you've been giving me making t-shirts.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm very happy to be involved in the process. It's very interesting.
It's kind of fun to watch and
yeah,
do,
and to
it?
Do
and
to it.
See how,
yeah.
how it all's done.
What are you so, I've always about wanted to work t-shirts. In a sweatshop.
Yes.
Well, because you're wanting people to buy the t-shirts. That's right. Designed by me.
Fausto.
Ooh.
And made by...
Mark and...
Me. And sweatshopped by...
Michael, yeah.
And we want people... If you got the t-shirt in your hands, you owe it to us to pull out that iPhone to do a... go to Walgreens photo booth or whatever it is. Oh, my God. We haven't talked about...
What?
The singer of Wham,
George Michael,
who ran over a photo booth in England and shocked everybody because everyone was like, people still develop film?
Really?
Like, yeah, he got drunk last week he ran over a photo booth.
Okay.
I remember those little drive-up photo booths where you'd go and drop off the film.
I guess they still have them in England. I guess they develop film the old-fashioned way. They don't have cell phones or...
Digital cameras.
Wow. I'm like, I was kind of equally shocked by the fact that he ran over the photo booth as the fact that there was a photo booth to run over.
Well, I remember when they got those 1 hour photos and people were like, you can get photos in an hour?
They used to take a week.
I know. And the money that our families spent taking photos of us as children.
Yeah.
It's like, we just live in different times. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Everything is in high definition now.
You know what I noticed about the t-shirts, too, is because the dye or the ink that we used, is that after you wash it once, the blue part becomes a little more sparkly.
Yeah, I washed mine. It washed very nicely.
Did you see how it sparkles now?
Now, make sure, you know, because it is heat-sensitive ink, if you want it to last a little bit longer, just take the iron...
I already heat-set it. It's heat-set. You do not have to worry about that.
Mark does it all.
All right.
It's heat-set.
I just think all t-shirts...
Because when you do those, all you have to do is raise it up to 200 degrees. So once you're at 200 degrees, you're absolutely fine.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm.
I mean, over
wash
time.
Wash it inside out, though.
After time, it will fade a little
any
bit.
Any t-shirt yeah. with a design on it, if you really like that t-shirt and you want it to last a long time, turn it inside out and throw it in the wash. And use cold water.
Yeah.
And don't put an iron to it.
And don't fuck it up. And, don't and use it as a cum rag,
hang
people.
Dry it.
And if you use it as a cum rag, mail it back to us.
Listen, I want to remind people that today's show is brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure! Saca la presión! Steamworks!
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Seattle, Toronto, and Vancouver, British Columbia. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Enter Steamworks online. Oh, visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fun on the promo code field and get a special discount.
Ooh.
Remember, folks, play hard, play smart. Steamworks, it's where it's at. Steamworks, you hang up your hat. Steamworks.
So tomorrow we're talking to Carol Channing.
Oh. Yeah, but it's not airing until August.
Until
just
August.
To clarify
but
that.
If you want to ask a question, you have to do it real soon. And so you do this by going, don't email me, don't post it on Facebook. Go to the entry that says, ask Carol Channing anything, and you post a comment. And we're going to pick the best questions, or we're probably going to have to marry a couple questions together because there's a
everybody
lot.
Asks the same question twice. Right.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know about raspberries.
Yeah.
Raspberries.
Raspberries. So, you know, I'm just so tempted. It's like, I want to play a little clip of it when we're done with it, just to give people a teaser to titillate them. Because it's going to be exciting. Carol Channing is going to be performing as part of a benefit. Help is on the way at Northern California's largest annual AIDS benefit concert on Sunday, August the 15th at Herps Theater in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a spectacular show. And it goes to four great charities, not just one. And you get to see a living legend strut her stuff on stage.
Mm-hmm. That should be awesome.
It'll be a historical event.
It's like seeing Liza on stage.
Have you seen the video?
I saw her.
Did we talk about you seeing Liza?
I think we did. She was good. I was hoping that she was drunk, but she was just a little medicated from her knee.
Oh,
I know.
A semi-sober Liza.
Yeah.
What
the best celebrities are drunk celebrities.
I know. I'm so excited.
I know. I wish that we could have her here in person, then we could offer her a cocktail.
Would you like a cocktail, darling?
Wow, really? So, I can't wait. You know, I want to ask her, is like, is she aware of how much her voice and her public persona is part of popular culture and imitated, you know, from Lady Bunny to Carol Channing to
Pandora Box
to all these drag queens and comedians and entertainers all around the world. Carol Channing is part of their DNA, and she's part of American comedy. And, you know, as a legendary tone, she has a Lifetime Achievement Award as a Tony for her work on Broadway. And I just wanted to know, like, you know, has it really sunk into her that she's like a drag queen icon too? You know, and if,
can
has
you get
she
bigger
seen
than that?
What?
Can you get bigger than that?
Well, I just think it's interesting because I don't know if she's that aware of it or not. You know, it's like that Lady Bunny, one of the biggest drag queens, both in name and size in this country. her persona has a lot to do with Carol Channing. And the second thing I'm dying to talk to her about is her work with Tommy Tune.
Something completely different.
Tommy Tune and all that decadent, extravagant, lavish dance numbers that were part of her TV specials in the 1970s. So I'm really excited and looking forward to it. So, Michael, what do you want to leave us here with?
Oh, I'll let you pick it. You sound something cool there to listen to before, didn't you?
Yeah, this is Derek and the Darlings.
Oh, good old Derek.
The song Suddenly from his album, Derek and the Darling. I love it when musicians name their albums after themselves.
It makes it very easy.
Easy to find. Michael, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at chicagonow.com/gay or on Twitter at whatsaboytodo. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Facebook too, so. Oh.
And if you like a show, we want to hear from you. If you hate it, we also want to hear from you. If you have mixed feelings, share those mixed feelings on our website, feastoffun.com. Click up a comment. We need it. We love it.
And make sure to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/feastoffun. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/feastoffun.
From the deepest parts of my beating heart, it's not black, it's blue.
Black and blue.
Black and blue. I want to salute you, the listeners, for listening to the show, and we deeply, deeply appreciate it. I am Fausto Fernos. Our guest today has been Michael Liat.
And I'm Mark Villian.
So say bye, Michael.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. There's no such place.